Thank you, colleague. Thank you for being here today. And I'm very pleased that we can conduct these informal open consultations this year and continue the tradition of having a meeting during the year, which also goes more into substance and provides us with a possibility to exchange between states. First of all, thank you, Mr. President-designate, for the introduction. And as indicated by the President-designate, we will now start a thematic discussion on victim assistance. I will briefly introduce the topic and underline trends identified in national annual reports submitted this year by high contracting parties to Protocol 5. And then we will listen to several experts, and I will invite them to come to the podium. I mean, so please, you can already join us up here now or take your time as it is to your preference. Explosive remnants of war continue to threaten, maim, and kill indiscriminately long after hostilities stopped. Thus, ERW caused deaths, a wide range of severe injuries, but also socioeconomic effects. Victim assistance is the responsibility of the affected state, and notwithstanding the overall responsibility of a government to provide assistance to victims, this standard describes the particular roles and responsibilities of the mine action sector in supporting victim assistance. Assistance to survivors is primarily an obligation of each individual state with respect to ERW victims. It requires a holistic and integrated multi-sector approach to fully meet the needs of victims who suffered from physical, mental, and/or sensory trauma due to an ERW. Thus, victim assistance goes beyond the immediate and intensive medical care provided to victims. It implies a long-term commitment to reach the economic and social reintegration of victims of ERW into society. In the framework of Protocol 5, victim assistance is addressed under Article 8, which high contracting parties must respect. In the national annual report submitted each year by high contracting parties to this protocol, Form F about the implementation of this article needs to be used. In terms of victim assistance in the national annual reports, some high contracting parties reported on the provision of prosthesis and other medical assistive devices, reintegration activities, and microcredit programs to improve the economic conditions of victims. Some high contracting parties indicated having developed specific legal frameworks in this area. The miners and their families are also supported through careful assessment of their needs and assistance with reintegration into the community. One high contracting party reported that in 2022, there were 16 UXO accidents resulting in 20 casualties, 3 women, 9 men, and 8 children. Beyond this Article 8, I would like to take this opportunity to recall the Plan of Action on Victim Assistance, which was adopted by the second conference of Protocol 5. As a political tool, and this is a quote, for addressing in an effective way and on a voluntary basis the problems of ERW victims. In this plan of action, high contracting parties decided to exchange regularly information on the operationalization and national implementation of this plan of action within existing mechanisms established by the CCW and Protocol 5. I therefore encourage delegations to refer to this plan of action when presenting their national victim assistance programs. Okay. Now, to begin our panel discussion, I will give the floor first to Ms. Elaine Marx, welcome, who is a technical officer in the WHO Rehabilitation Program and is involved in supporting implementation of the Rehabilitation 2030 initiative. Before joining the WHO team in 2016, Elaine worked as an occupational therapist, undertaking roles in clinical service provision, staff training and service development in Australia, Vietnam and Chile. She holds a bachelor's degree in occupational therapy, a master of health management, and a master of public health, specializing in Thank you. I give you the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Vilgeri, and good morning.